Case number 08-1266, American Gas Association Petitioner versus Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Mr. Soto for petitioner, Ms. Henry for respondent.
May it please the court, $711 million. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission reviewed the financial reports filed by Interstate Pipelines in 2005 and concluded that pipelines retained 97 billion cubic feet of natural gas in fuel versus what was actually consumed in operations or was lost and unaccounted for. Based on average prices for natural gas in 2005, that came to be about $711 million. And while this case is ultimately about reasoned decision-making under the Administrative Procedures Act, or more correctly, the lack of reasoned decision-making, the dollars at stake are nonetheless substantial, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars annually.
Now, I may have missed some of your first part of your sentence, but is this the amount of money that you're claiming is responding to the Commission's statement that they didn't think the amount was significant?
They believed that the level of transactions where fuel was waived or reduced as part of a negotiated rate was not significant, not the amount of fuel or the level of the fuel.
Right. So that 711 is not responding to that.
Correct.
All right.
The 711 is the much larger figure of how much the pipelines are retaining in their fuel charges.
Yeah.
In the orders under review, the Commission revised the financial reports to require Interstate Pipelines to provide more information about what they did with the excess fuel. And the stated purpose of the revisions to the rule were to give shippers the information they need to monitor pipeline rates and charges, including fuel charges, and to successfully challenge when those charges become unjust and unreasonable. And AGA argued in that rulemaking proceeding that in order to accomplish that purpose, in order to successfully challenge when pipeline rates become unjust and unreasonable, in order to meet the Commission's goal, the new fuel information should be, one, broken out by function, and two, include the amount of fuel that's waived or reduced as part of a discounted or negotiated transaction. And the Commission rejected those recommendations, but the reasons for doing so certainly don't pass muster under the Administrative Procedures Act. They can't be considered reasoned decision-making because they rest on factual errors, incorrect assumptions, and faulty logic. And as a result, pipeline customers are less able to do what the Commission put forth to them, to monitor pipeline rates and challenge when they become unjust and unreasonable. The potential cross-subsidies are potentially undetectable. If the fuel is not broken out by function, it's difficult for a storage customer to tell whether the fuel charges that it pays to the pipeline are used to provide a discount to a transportation customer. And without knowing that information, they can't successfully launch a complaint. They can't get the Commission's attention, sufficient attention, to require a rate investigation. And they can't carry their burden that the Commission set out for them to monitor and challenge when pipeline rates become unjust and unreasonable.
Well, a majority of the Commission disagreed with that assessment. And I understand your points about they were thinking you were asking for 20 more pages of data and that type of thing. But they thought that they've been studying this for 2 years, and they've made a lot of changes so that shippers would have more, customers would have more information. And they say, this is J264, we do not believe its exclusion will preclude the Commission or the customer's ability to assess the just or reasonableness of the rates.
We contend, Your Honor, that that's unexplained. Why is that not sufficient? Why won't the exclusion of that data prevent the customers from challenging the pipeline rates? And if I may make 2 points in that regard, it's a conclusory statement that the Commission never really walks through why the information on page 521, the new fuel schedule, doesn't need to be functionalized. The Commission never explained why. The Commission never explained whether the information is available elsewhere and how the shippers can build their rate case or the rate complaint adequately. But more importantly, what the commission said, that statement follows by the belief that functionalized data is available somewhere else. Well, it's not all available somewhere else. There are about 13 inputted lines of data on the new schedule. Only one line is available. The functionalized data is available somewhere else. And more importantly, that one line is the lost and unaccounted for. That's the rounding error. It's like the commission telling shippers, you get really good data on the pennies that were collected, but the dollars are in the aggregate. So if the dollars are in the aggregate and they only get really good data about the pennies, how is it that not being able to get that data doesn't preclude the ability to assess the justness and reasonableness of the pipeline rates? In light of that error, in light of this erroneous belief that the functionalized cost data is available somewhere else where it's not, it's hard to say that the commission's ultimate conclusion there that we don't think you need this data is reasoned decision making.
Well, some of it's available, not all of it. That's your point.
The only thing that's available is the lost and unaccounted for, that one line. Mm-hmm. The amount of fuel that's used in the compressor stations, that's line two on the new schedule. That's not broken out by function on page 520. That's line 26 on page 520, and that's not functionalized. All the new revenue information, the disposition of the excess fuel, all that revenue data, that's not broken out by function. And as
so the commission says, look, we have looked at your comments, everybody else's comments, and balanced various interests and come out a certain way. And you got a lot of what you asked for, but you didn't get these two things. And it's our judgment that that's the proper balance. They give some reasons, but I understand your point, they don't give enough. But
if I may make two points,
I'm sorry. To be clear. If we send it back and the commission says, well, we're still not going to require these two additional reporting figures, all you want them to say, not all you want them to say, but all they would have to say is give us a little more information. I mean, it's difficult when you're balancing interests to say anything more than you're balancing interests. Your balance is not the same as my balance, sort of thing.
If I may make two points in that regard. If the commission only said that we balanced competing interests and our decision reflects a fair balance, would that pass judicial muster? And we don't believe so. And the instructive case that we would cite is the one that actually the commission raised in their brief, and that's the Edison Mission case in 2005, where this court found that it was error for the commission to respond to the petitioner's concerns with vague generalities, to simply summarize the arguments on both sides and say, perfunctory conclude that one of them wins without any further explanation. That was the crux of what this court understood was the failure of the commission in that case. And that balancing analysis is much the same in this case. Is it enough for the commission to say, we balanced a bunch of competing interests and the pipelines win this one? And we would contend that doesn't pass judicial muster. It isn't sufficient. After all, the commission always, or nearly always, balances competing interests. Nearly every case that comes before it has some sort of balancing or weighing act. It's not sufficient for the commission to simply say, we balanced and one side wins.
I was just trying to understand, sort of extracting what you say are the errors. I mean, they give some, it's not just we balance, end of discussion. I mean, they have two long paragraphs here talking about why they have reached the conclusion they have reached. And, I mean, one you focus on when they talk about the 20-page annual report as though you're asking for 20 more pages of data. And they say it's not apparent that the level of fuel is significant enough to require this additional burden on the pipelines. And you can get some of the data from page 520.
Some, but not all. And that number one fundamentally taints the balancing, whatever balancing the commission performed. If they believed that the data was available elsewhere, then they undervalued the need for the additional data, and therefore their balancing is fundamentally tainted. And the fact that they misunderstood that we were only seeking a page of data when they thought we were seeking a 20-page full report, again, fundamentally taints the whole analysis of whether what we were asking for is unnecessary or burdensome. How can they conclude that what we were asking for is unnecessary or burdensome if they didn't understand what we were asking for? I see my time has expired. I do want to save some for rebuttal,
so I understand what you're saying, your position is that it's the underlying errors that you perceive, not the way they did the balancing. In other words, they wouldn't have to do a more specific balancing if, in your view, they had the underlying facts correct. Is that fair?
We want them to engage in their errors, see the errors, and really understand what it is that we're asking for, and give us a good, give us a good reason for rejecting it. We think that for very good reasons they shouldn't reject it, but we can deal with that on remand. But given the errors, they didn't engage our arguments, and that's why we're here before the court. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Henry?
May it please the court, I'd like to respond to a couple of points that the court has made, and questions that you have asked Mr. Soto. For instance, Judge Rogers, I believe that you pointed out that the commission had to balance the interests here, and that basically reasonable minds can differ. However, the standard of review states that the commission, as long as it has made a reasonable decision, it does not have to be necessarily the only possible reasonable decision. Certainly reasonable minds may differ here, and they did differ here.
What's troubling to me in this case, candidly, is you have a dissenting commissioner who makes some points, and I don't see where the commission really deals with those points. In other words, it says it's balanced, it's taken a lot into account, et cetera. And it's not that they necessarily have to agree with the dissent, but there are serious issues that are raised by the dissent. They go to an issue that was before the commission, and the commission just doesn't come to grips with it, is what I'm concerned about. How would you respond to show me that the commission did come to grips with what the dissenting commissioner was concerned with?
Well, the dissent certainly raises its own issue. It's no different from a dissent by a judge in a court case. And again, the majority of the...
A little different because we have held that, where there's a serious point made by the members of a commission or board, where there are serious points made by the dissent, the majority is supposed to consider them, address them, can't ignore them.
Well, but I think that the court has to consider also that the majority of the commissioners here did give adequate reasons for why they believed the information requested by AGA was unnecessary and in some cases burdensome. I believe that certainly in the context of the entire rulemaking, if you look at all of the 11 points, all the 11 changes that were made, in each instance, the commission had to balance the burdens and the benefits. I don't believe that the commission was required to be verbose in its reasoning in order to be adequate. And I do think that here the commission certainly adequately addressed AGA's contentions.
About the AGA points to this 20-page manual fuel report filed by Dominion Transmission, and the commission deems appropriate for these forms 2, 2A, and 3Q. And they say it's unlikely pipelines would have this information available since many pipelines do not periodically file to adjust fuel rates and may not keep records of this type. Further, it's not apparent that the level of fuel associated with these types of transactions is significant.
Right. I do think the commission gave several reasons why it believed that AGA's request with respect to the waived or negotiated waived or discounted fuel as part of a negotiated rate agreement was unnecessary and burdensome. The commission pointed out.
I quoted their key sentence to me.
Right.
And the question is, how did they reach that conclusion?
I think it was based on the agency's expertise, and I also think that it was based in large part on what the real purpose of this rulemaking was.
No, I fully understand that we must defer to the agency's expertise, and all I'm getting at is you have a dissenting commissioner who points out what he believes to be a critical problem, that in this post unbundling world where basically it's the complaint mm-hmm. process and the filings are going to drive FERC's regulatory ability, that the whole point, as the chairman of the commission said when the commission promulgated Order 710, you know, he says, if the law places the burden on the shipper, it is only fair that the commission ensure that shippers have access to the information necessary for them to meet their burden. That's a quote. So then the dissenting commissioner says they can't possibly meet their burden. Right. And the commission sort of doesn't respond other than to say, well, we were balancing because the pipelines are objecting to the burden right. associated with further reporting. And we just don't think this is going to affect our ability or the customer's ability. But they don't tell us sort of why is what I'm getting at.
I think that I think you have to look back again at the purpose for this change. The purpose for this change was not simply to make sure that the pipelines provided every piece of information that a shipper might be able to use in crossing the threshold to have the commission consider a Section 5 complaint. The original purpose, going back to the notice of proposed rulemaking, was really arose out of two Section 5 proceedings, Section 5 complaints that were brought a few years before this, where the complainants were concerned that the pipelines were substantially over-recovering their fuel costs.
All right. And the dissent says, unless sheets 521A/B are broken out by function, a shipper cannot match the revenues generated by the sale of excess fuel with the functionalized costs.
Right. And
now, where does the commission say, essentially, that's not so? In fact, they can match.
Right. And the commission does not address that particular point.
Right,
but the reason for the rulemaking was really just to allow, was to address this very specific generic concern that had been raised over the course of the rulemaking. And that was to determine whether pipes were over-recovering their fuel costs. What were the pipelines doing with the excess fuel that they retained from the shippers that was not necessary for operations? And the commission addressed that particular problem in the rulemaking. Wasn't trying to address all problems, but certainly the changes that were made would enable shippers to determine where that gas was being disposed, what the value of it was, and therefore could make a good case to the commission to go on and set a Section 5 complaint for hearing. Now, in that hearing, once it is set, there's discovery available. You know, there are all sorts of ways that that this can be fleshed out and the details can be obtained. So it's not necessary for the shippers to have this level of detail in order to determine whether the pipeline is potentially over-recovering the fuel costs.
Now, the dissent says the pipeline maintains this information by function in order to change its fuel rate, either in a tracking mechanism or its next Section 4 rate filing, and to assure that its customers are not subsidizing the negotiated rate program in accordance with the agency's policy. Where does the majority respond to that?
Well, the majority does not respond specifically to that. I don't know that it was really obligated to, since it felt that it was addressing the underlying problem, the regulatory problem. And certainly there was, other information that could provide additional clarity, but that information was not necessary, the majority of the commission believed, to accomplish the purpose of the rule, which was to see where this excess gas might be going and how what the value of it was.
Well, nobody cited this, so you can't be expected to be aware of it, but 412 Fed Third 133. That's our case, Chamber of Commerce versus the SEC. And in that case, two dissenting commissioners raised an alternative approach, and the majority gave no response. And we said that, well, the commission would nevertheless be excused for failing to consider this alternative if it were, for whatever reason, unworthy of consideration. But it was neither frivolous nor out of bounds, and the commission, therefore, had an obligation to consider it. And we cited, with a CF signal, a FERC case at 873 Fed Second at 1498. Where a party raises facially reasonable alternatives, the agency must either consider these alternatives or give them some reason for declining to do so. So the dissent makes two points that are critical here, it seems to me, to the comment made. And either the dissent is mistaken or the commission has just decided that it has a different point of view, but it just doesn't come to grips with them. That's all I'm getting at.
Well, in this case, I believe that the commission did come to grips with it, and the reason for that is because the dissenting opinion basically adopted the arguments made by AGA. And so while the majority of the commission didn't say the dissent says this, but we don't think it's correct, in effect, the majority did say that because it was the same arguments that AGA made and that was addressed in the rulemaking.
Well, only in that those paragraphs 10 and 11 on reconsideration. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we submit that that was an adequate explanation, especially in view of the underlying regulatory problem that was designed to be addressed in this change.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does Mr. Soto have any time left?
No.
All right, why don't you take a minute?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. I would just like to make one point. If I may, the counsel for the commission is correct that the changes that the commission made in the financial reports would provide shippers with information that would allow them to detect when a pipeline is over-recovering its fuel charges. But that's not entirely what AGA was concerned about. And AGA and the quote, Judge Rogers, which you had mentioned with regard to the dissent, go directly to a different problem, and that is the cross-subsidization. If I, as a shipper that has a storage contract, and I'm paying fuel on that storage contract, are my charges being used to allow the pipeline to give a discount to a transportation customer?
All right, now,
I can't know that based on the information.
All right, the council says, and so did the commission, that you can pursue that during the pipeline rate making. You can get all this information at that time.
If I don't have the data initially, I don't know it's happening. I can't build a complaint that the commission would set for hearing. I can't get into the courthouse door, so to speak, because I don't even know that it's happening. And that is the fatal error that we believe is the crux of the case, that the commission did not address our concerns about cross-subsidization.
All right. Thank you
for your consideration of the case, Your Honor.